Good morning. We'd like to read in God's Word in 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. It is a fearful thing to stand in the presence of a holy, righteous God and to represent Him in front of so many. And God holds each one of us accountable for the Word of God that He has revealed to our hearts. Someone has said that no man can speak to man until he has spoken to God. So let us pray. Father, we're thankful that we're about to open up Your Word, and we desire to hear Your voice this morning. Father, we want You to touch our hearts and change us. Father, we've been living dormant spiritual lives. Father, awaken our hearts. We think of the words of the Apostle Paul, "Awake thou that slumberest." Father, give us a new desire to serve You. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 13. And behold, there was a man of God out of Judah, by the word of the Lord, unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried unto the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, "Altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense unto thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." And he gave a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." And it came to pass, when the king Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, "Lay hold on him." And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it again to him. And the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, "Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again." And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and it became as it were before. And the king said unto the man of God, "Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward." And the man of God said unto the king, "If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way which thou camest." So he went another way, and returned not by the way which he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works of the man of God had done in that day in Bethel, and the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they also told to their father. And their father said unto them, "Which way went he?" For his sons had seen the way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, "Saddle me the ass." So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, "Art thou the man of God that came from Judah?" And he said, "I am." Then he said unto him, "Come home with me and eat bread." And he said, "I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, that thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn in again by the way which thou camest." And he said unto him, "I am a prophet also as thou art, And an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drank water in this place, of which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread nor drink water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him in the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion stood by the carcass. And behold, the men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the old prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, and hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord which he spoke unto him. And he spoke to his son, saying, Saddle me the ass, and they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. And the lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon his ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned him, saying, Alas, my brother. And it came to pass after he had buried him, that he spoke to his son, saying, When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones, for the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, against the house of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to be cut off, to cut it off, to destroy it from the face of the earth. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. The message this morning is dealing with spiritual discernment. A little while ago, a few years ago, there was a book come out by the name of The Shack. And many people here have read The Shack, and people say, I really enjoyed that book. If you read the write-ups and the recommendations in the beginning of the book, they talk about how this will reveal God in a new and a fresh manner. I would say it will reveal God in a new and a fresh manner. When the father is described as a black American African woman, when the Holy Spirit is revealed as a little Chinese woman, when the Father God, who is the African American woman, has the marks of Calvary in her hands, and she is the Father, and it has sold to this date 18 million copies. A little while after that, I bought a book called Burning Down the Shack. Now, that would not be a popular book. It would not sell 18 million copies. Because as soon as people would read that book, they would say, this guy has a critical spirit. What we're dealing with this morning, brothers and sisters, we're dealing with spiritual discernment that is lacking in the day in which we're living. This man that we're reading about this morning, we'll read about three different people. We'll read about the king of the northern kingdom, Jeroboam. And then we read about an unknown man of God. And then we read about an old prophet. To give us a little bit of history, we had the kingdom of Israel comprising of the 12 tribes of Israel in the time of Solomon. In all its glory, the temple of God was built. And Israel was at its pinnacle in glory as they obeyed God and they glorified God. But then Jeroboam died and his son came to power, and his son went in and he asked the people, what should I do? How shall I guide this people? And he talked to some of the older men, and they said, listen, your father was very hard on the people, and the people have complaining. If you use your wisdom and you treat them gently, they will follow you. So then he speaks to his young friends and his buddies, and they asked, how should I treat the people of Israel? And they said, listen, you have to treat them harshly. You have to show them who's the boss, basically what he was saying. So he disregarded the counsel of the old men, and he accepted the counsel of his peers, his young friends. And Israel was divided into two kingdoms. There was the northern kingdom comprising of 10 tribes, over which Jeroboam was the king, and then Rehoboam was the king over the southern tribe of Judah, and one more tribe to the south. So this is what has happened. And now there has been a man of God sent to Bethel. Do you remember the name of the word Bethel? Remember that was the place that Jacob lied down, his head on a pillow of stone. And he said, surely God is in this place. This is a dreadful place. A dreadful place. We use the word awesome. But we don't use the word awesome the way the Bible uses the word awesome. Awesome has the idea of being filled with the fear of God, recognizing the power of God and the glory of God and the holiness of God. Do we think about God like that? Or is he my best friend? This is the God that was revealed to Jacob. And now, in the northern kingdom, there was a man by the name of Jeroboam, and he realized if at the time of the celebration of the feast, all of the northern kingdom, the religious Jews, those ones who were seeking to follow God, when the time of the Passover come, they would all go down into Jerusalem and the kingdom would be reunited. So he thought of something very clever. He said, I'm going to make two places of worship, one in the north in the tribe of Dan and the other one in Bethel. And what was he going to put there? He put two golden calves. Where did he get that idea? We remember the story very well. Moses was up in the mountain. He was gone for 40 days, and the people came to Aaron and said, what shall we do? And he came up with this great plan, and he took all their gold, and he threw it in the fire, and out come this golden calf, as according to him. You know, the people would never have asked Moses to do that. You know, all servants of God are not the same. You know, when you're dealing with people, sometimes you'll find this in families. When children, when they want to go and ask a favor, who do they go to? I'll go to mom. Why would they want to go to mom? Well, because my dad, John DeVries, he's really, really hard to deal with. So I'll ask Kelly because she's a softie. It might be the reverse. I don't know what it's like in his house. But sometimes this is what we want to do. We want to go to the person that's going to give us our way instead of God's way. I hope we don't seek God's will in that manner, trying to find people that agree with us. This morning we're reading about a man of God, an unknown man of God. You know, this man of God, he is called a man of God 17 times, 15 times in this passage, and twice over when it talks over in 2 Kings, where it talks about Josiah being born, twice more he's mentioned. His testimony has lived 350 years later after he has died. His testimony lives on strong as a man of God. So a man of God has been sent to Bethel. And then when we read about this man of God in this chapter, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but 10 times over, the word of the Lord was mentioned. The man of God is always associated with the word of the Lord. You can't separate them. We need to get back into the book. We need to get back to the Bible. There was a man by the name of Theodore Epp started a program called Back to the Bible. And many of us here, we used to listen to back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. Let's get back to the Bible, brothers and sisters. We have to seek God's face as we see the evil days approaching. So there was a man of God came from Judah and the southern kingdom to Bethel in the northern kingdom where Jeroboam was king. And he was sent with a message from God. King Jeroboam was not of the tribe of Levi. He was an ungodly king who was standing in a godly office, worshiping, offering up sacrifices to God. But the word of God came on to this man of God. Why is he not named? Because God is trying to show us that his message was more important than his name. God bypassed other men that were well known, and he took up an unknown man. Maybe there's some unknown men and unknown women here this morning that God wants to use. But what are we devoting our time to? Are we taking a night a week and studying the Word of God? I'll tell you one thing. If you come out to the Bible study on Wednesday nights, and when you listen to Brother Leonard, when he is expounding the scriptures to us, sometimes he'll ask a leading question. What do you think of this? I'm afraid to answer. Do you know why? Because he's going to show me three other scriptures where I'm wrong. And that's good. He has done his homework. He has gone back and forth. He has looked up the scriptural references. And he can say, thus saith the Lord. Brother Josh mentioned last week that I said to him, whenever you're in the pulpit, you should never use two words, I think. Never together, I think. Why? Because my opinion is not important. It's what God has said to us this morning is important. I hope we understand that. So he has been sent to give a message, and he doesn't address the king. Do you notice that? His message, he says, oh, altar, altar. And then he proclaims the message that is given to it. He says, oh, altar, oh, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and the men's bones that shall be burnt upon thee. You know what I think about this name, Josiah? What a name to live up to. Do you know, I believe the godly men and women of that time, when they were to have a child, and they saw the departure of Israel, and they saw how people were turning away from God, that they would name their sons Josiah, hoping that my son will be the man. That my son will be the one that will put things in order. I'm sure Grant and Shelley Canfield, when they had their son and they named him Josiah, they had a desire in their heart that their son would be living for God. Isn't that our desire? When my son was born, I called him Caleb. Why? At 85 years, he climbs that mountain, and he wanted to show them, I am going to take this mountain. It doesn't care if I'm an old man. I have energy for God. Yes, God still wants to use you whether you're 25 or 85. And God can use you. Yes, God can use you. We're going to see how God will use some people that we would never choose. And then Jeroboam puts his hand out to grab onto the man, to detain him, to throw him out of the temple. And what happens? As he reaches out, his hand was, we would say, paralyzed. And he couldn't pull it back in. And then what does he do? He realizes that he was standing in the presence of a man of God. And he cries out to the man of God and he says, entreat your God, not my God, your God, because he realized that he didn't have that God. He didn't have that relationship that this man of God had. Entreat your God that he may restore my arm unto me. You know what happened? There was three miracles that day. Did you notice that? There were three miracles. The first miracle was that his hand was paralyzed, his arm was paralyzed. The second miracle was that the altar was rent, it was broken in two, and all the ashes poured out. And the third miracle, his arm was restored. And still, at the end of the story, we find him unrepentant. How many people, how many of your friends have said, if I saw something like that, I would serve God for the rest of my days? Can you look back in your life when God has answered you in prayer, has done something real, and you said, wow, I stand amazed in the presence of the crucified, that he would look upon a wretch like me and come into my life and work in such a manner, and your life has changed maybe for a week or a month, and then how slowly do you sort of drift back into the mediocre? The man of God showed grace towards Jeroboam. He prayed, and his hand was restored. The king invites him home and offers him a reward. He refuses. He is explicit. He is not covetous. He has his reasons. He says, I will not go back. That sounds pretty firm, doesn't it? I will not go back. And then he tells him why. In verse 8, the man of God said, if thou wilt give me half of thy kingdom, half of thy house, I will not go in with thee. Verse 9, for it was charged me. Did you notice that? He received a charge from God. What is a charge? You can do that if you want. No. He received a message from the throne of God to deliver to an unrighteous, unholy king who was leading how many hundreds of thousands, how many millions of people astray. Jeroboam did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He turned Israel after idols. His sin was wickedness in the eyes of God. He refuses. He's proficient in quoting the word of God. Did you notice that? He goes back and he says, this is what was said unto me. Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again to the same way which thou hast come. Well, you say, well, that was pretty easy. He only had 72 words to memorize. How many words have you memorized this week of the word of God? I remember once I went to a seminar in Vancouver. Harold Summers put on a seminar, and the entrance fee to go to this seminar was that you had to remember the last 8 verses of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy and the first 8 verses of chapter 4. And I remember the brothers that I was going with, they said, wow, that's too hard. We can't memorize 16 verses. Over in Africa, kids are remembering books of the Bible. Books of the Bible. And we can remember 8 verses or 16 verses. Here was a man that was proficient in the Word of God. So summing up the first section, verses 1 to 10, the messenger and his message, he admitted that the Lord had told him not to eat or drink anything in the land. Why? Because eating and drinking in the land was idolatry, was fellowship with sinners. And then the next section comes along, the old prophet. There's an old prophet. An old prophet, does that speak about his age? You can say, yeah, it speaks about his age. I believe the old prophet, the idea we have here is that here was a man that was used by God at one time, and now God has set him aside. He has just left him. So when the old prophet hears about what happens, his sons come along, His sons were involved in the idolatrous worship down there. And they came and they told the dad about there's a man of God. So he said, which way did they go? Which way did he go? So they saddle the ass and he gets on and he goes and he looks for the man. And then when he finds him, he says, art thou the man of God? How about if somebody come up to you and said, are you the man of God? Are you a man of God? How would you answer? Yes, I'm a man of God. You know, in the New Testament, man of God's only used twice. Only used twice. Very few called men of God. Very few women of God. That could change. You could say this morning, your prayer could say, Lord, use me. I want to be this man of God. I'm not looking for a name. I'm just happy to be the man of God with the message of God for the people of God. So he comes home and he asks him, come back to the city, come back. And you know what he says this time? In verse 16, notice how his answer changes. You'd be surprised at this. He said, I may not return with you. What did he say to the king? I will not. What was the difference? Well, the old prophet says, I'm a prophet just like you are. And the angel of the Lord spoke to me and said, come back. When he was speaking to the king, he says, it was charged me. The Lord gave me this message. He was sure. He was convinced. And now what does he say? He said, it was said unto me. Did you notice that in your reading? Brothers, we have to pay attention to what is written in the text. This is what we call Bible study. Going through it verse by verse, looking at the words that God uses, making comparisons, the message. We see a man in spiritual declension because, first of all, it was charged onto him and then it was said unto him. He says, I will not, and then he says, I may not. You can see him weakening in his resolve. And as he sat at the table, the Spirit of God came upon this old prophet, and God can use any one of us when he wants and how he wants. And the message was given unto him, and what happens? It says, he cried unto the man of God. Some people don't like when we raise our voice. He cried unto the man of God. It was a message that was so important, he didn't want it to be missed. And he tells him, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord. You have disobeyed the mouth of the Lord. So the man of God allowed himself to be deceived. First, he admitted that God had told him not to eat or drink. And then we see him allowing himself to be deceived. The Apostle Paul wouldn't allow himself to be deceived. What does it say in Galatians? Though an angel of God tell you another message in the gospel that I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Because the message of the gospel is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again, and he offers forgiveness of sins to those who will repent and trust Christ as their Savior. Disobedience takes simple forms at times. Sometimes we think, well, disobedience means you're going out and getting drunk. It had nothing to do with that. We see this man of God as he receives the message of God, the charge that the old prophet gave him, because you have disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, number one. And number two, you have not kept the commandment of the Lord. You know what's interesting? God gives us opportunity of repentance. If you want to study on that, look at the life of Jonah. It says Jonah left. There's five different steps that he could have repented and gone back to Nineveh. Here we have two steps. The prophet, we see the old prophet, he goes back to the house of the old prophet. when he got back there, he could have said to himself, "What am I doing here?" And then he walks in and he sits down at the table with the old prophet, and he sees the bread and the drink upon the table. He could have said, "The Lord has said unto me, you shall not eat bread nor drink." He could have got up at that point and went out. But still, he stays. That's the way sin is. It's enticing. And when it brings forth, it's conceived, and it brings forth death. And as the old man, why would God use this old man that was a liar? It shows the sovereignty of God, doesn't it? Yes, God will even use such worthless people like you and I. He accepted the prophet's word on the matter, even though he had clear instructions from God. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. Do you remember that verse? How long ago since you read Romans chapter 3 and verse 4? Let God be true and every man a liar. A man of God who cannot be bribed for money or prestige of the king is duped by the supposed spirituality of another preacher. Don't ever take another man's word against God's word that contradicts God and his word. And then the last section, the recompense of the reward. He answered for his lack of obedience. He was killed by a lion for following man instead of God. We read that portion, those that have read through 1 Samuel, To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So we see the rest of the story. The man of God, he leaves the house. How do you think he felt that day when he left the house of the old prophet? Did he feel convicted? Ah, God would never hurt me. Ah, God is not a God that keeps his word. He knew that God kept his word. He saw the altar split before his eyes. He saw the king Jeroboam healed before his eyes. He knew that God fulfills his word. I can see him. He's dragging his feet as he's leaving that town, and he doesn't know where he's going. He knows that death is waiting for him around the corner. And he makes it, and he gets tired along the way, as sometimes the burdens happen to us, spiritual oppression and things like that come upon us, and we're very discouraged, and he sits down under the oak, and all of a sudden the lion comes along and slays him. And then the word passes fast, because after all, he was the man of God. Everybody knew him. They had heard what happened to King Jeroboam. They had heard what happened to the altar. How is it that this man of God is now dead? So the old prophet, he gets on the donkey again, and he goes up and he finds him, and he brings back the carcass to his house, and he says to his sons, "When I die, I want you to bury me in the same sepulcher as this man of God." Why? Because he knew that God was going to fulfill his word. And if you read that portion over in 1 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 23, you'll find when Josiah goes in to clean out the temple, he came to this tomb and he said, "Who is this tomb?" "This is the man of God." 350 years later, they were talking about him. And the old prophet had enough wisdom that he wanted to be buried there beside the man of God so that he was protected too. When all the other bones were burned upon the altar, the old prophet, he was safe and secure. To whom much is given, much is required. The man of God, he's concerned with the word of God. The man of God is concerned with the will of God. The man of God is concerned with the glory of God. As the man of the world is concerned with pleasure, as the athlete is concerned with sport and the trophies, the man of God is concerned with the glory of God. Let us be men and women of God this morning. It's not easy. It's not like you're just going to walk out that door and you say, "I promise from now on I'm going to be a man of God." No, there's action that you have to put in place. You have to spend time in God's holy word. You have to spend time on your knees in prayer. You have to spend time with other Christians fellowshipping. Yes, they say birds of a feather flock together. Who are you flocking with? Are you spending time with spiritual believers? Are you seeking to do God's will? Brother John gave us an exhortation this morning about evangelism. I'm not here to talk about evangelism. But the whole idea, I can testify when I spend time with John and Kelly and Josh and Bob McGregor and Elaine was there and Blair was there. There was a bunch of us who were out there, and if I miss people's names, I'm sorry. We had a spiritually uplifting time. Yes, we went forth in fear and trembling. And it doesn't matter if you're a preacher or you're somebody who has never spoken, you feel that tremble, the fear of man. But the Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. If we read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So, I want us to draw close to God as we leave this place. Father, we're thankful that as we contemplate the life of the man of God, being associated with the Word of God and delivering the message of God to people that did not want to hear. And Father, even though most would look at his life in dire failure, 350 years later, they were still calling him the man of God. He delivered the message of God with accuracy. So, Father, help us to live out and fulfill our ministry. The Apostle Paul, he would say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. Now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not only to me, but all those that look for his appearing. We give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.